I'm Bob Boylan for All Songs Considered. I want to tell you about Patrick Jaren-Wantanonen. He's been the backbone of our jazz coverage here almost since we began in 2007. Patrick came to us as an intern, I think he was 22, and shortly after he began covering legendary and rising jazz luminaries like a pro. His writing in A Blog Supreme, the blog he started, captured the spirit of that jazz community, and it was a rich resource for thoughtful coverage on this living American musical culture. Recently, NPR Music changed the way we cover jazz, with our wonderful member station WBGO taking the lead. Sadly, Patrick's no longer working at NPR Music, but PJ, as we call him, turned me and our listeners on to so much music, and a good deal of it through the jazz artists he brought to the tiny desk. On this Plus One edition of All Songs Considered, I asked Patrick to come back and talk to us about some of the legends and up-and-comers he brought to our offices. Thanks for coming back, Patrick.
Hey there again, Bob.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
So one of the most wonderful things that I think you brought to the table for me musically was the No BS Brass Band. Tell us about them.
Well, the No BS Brass Band is like a New Orleans-style brass band, but they're centered in Richmond, Virginia. They're, you know, a lot of fun. They make lots of different sorts of modern music in the brass band format. They do marching band-style parades, but they also do standalone performances, lots of horns, one drummer, a good time. So way back when, a while ago, we were all at NPR asked to take some unpaid leave. So I decided to go down to Richmond, Virginia to check out some bands that I had been hearing about. I was wondering why Richmond, Virginia, capital of Virginia, but, you know, it's a city of 200,000 people. It's sort of the middle of nowhere in terms of certain things.
Sorry,
why it had all these bands that I was getting into. And the answer is complex, of course. It has to do with Virginia Commonwealth University, which is the big state school there, which has a great music conservatory, cost of living, which makes it affordable for musicians to live there. And
particularly jazz musicians.
Yeah, particularly jazz musicians. And a number of other factors. It's also just a really cool town. So I ended up hanging out with the leaders of several bands and interviewing them and talking with them. And the No BS Brass Band was one of them.
You want to listen to a little bit and talk about this
piece
of music
that
they brought to the Tiny Desk? What are we going to hear?
This one's called RVA All Day, Richmond, Virginia, RVA. And they out there all day.
RVA All Day! We'll be right back.
Panzer. This is your brain on drugs. Any answers? Gotta go slow, gotta go fast, gotta scream low on all fans. Gotta be first, gotta be last, and you know the rest, cause I got laid out off the top of my chest. When I say hard...
They are all over the map and a lot of fun. No BS Brass Band.
Absolutely. They're led by a guy named Reggie Pace. He's a trombone player. You might have seen him on tour with Bon Iver on the previous tour, because he also makes, you know, beatbox mouth noises and has a lot of different skills in brass instruments. And the drummer, who actually is their recording engineer too, his name is Lance Kohler. Great and fun, kind of hippie-ish look to him. But they run that ship and have made it into a real thing.
One of the early Tiny Desk concerts you did was a person that is one of the more household names these days in jazz. But in 2011, when Esperanza Spalding came to the Tiny Desk, she was up and coming.
She was still a little bit up and coming. I think people in the jazz world knew her and knew she was going to be a star. She had all these talents. And then she pulled this kind of a left turn and did a record with a string section. Which is what she brought to the Tiny Desk, you know. So Esperanza Spalding is bass player. Upright bass player and electric, but at this point, mostly an upright player. She also sings and writes her own music often, is very talented in a jazz capacity, but has a very large vocabulary, so she can do all sorts of different stuff. I remember when she came in, she brought a three-piece string section and her bass and voice. And so it ended up being a real lovely, intimate feeling experience, kind of perfect for the Tiny Desk.
What do you want to play?
I believe this tune is called Little Fly. It's what she opened with.
That's a cool pizzicato and stuff, if I remember right. Yeah.
It's really lovely.
Thank you. That's so lovely.
The sound of the bass with the other bowed strings and the voice on top of that. It's just such a great sound that makes you feel like you're in a like cozy wood paneled room.
Mm-hmm. Robin Hilton sitting here reminded us that it's a James Blake poem. Is it?
William Blake.
I'm sorry, James Blake. Yes. Yeah.
That would be something else, man. Right? That would be some other stuff.
Yeah, I'll leave that as stands.
Yeah, a great old poem set to music.
With rock musicians, when I invite them to the Tiny Desk, everyone's like, oh, that's my goal. I've been wanting to. I can't wait. With jazz musicians, do they know what they're getting into?
Well, I think it speaks to the strength of the Tiny Desk that it became a thing. Uh-huh. And it became a thing to so many different types of musicians. They are looking for that, you know, attention from a different crowd. A lot of these artists are used to playing to jazz clubs and to performing arts centers, to people who already know their music and are looking out for it. And the chance to play for that different setting, to see how that translates and to show off what they can do, I think that's something that a lot of people are looking for because it's a music that really demands to be seen live.
And some, if I remember right, Robert Glasper among them, would come in and make up music as they went along. I mean, we ask them never to play cover tunes, which for some jazz artists, that eliminates some of their repertoire. And then in the case of Robert Glasper, who came in, his spirit is so a part of the playfulness in his music, and he brought in a band that was just up for anything.
Yeah, I mean, straight up, Robert Glasper is one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah,
and that really comes through in what he does on stage. You can see him, you know, this is all like his sort of plaything, which is a pretty good approach to making music on stage, I think. And so he had a musician come in and sing with him. But for the next two tunes, they were like, well, what are we going to do? We haven't really planned anything. And so they started jamming and they just made up a song. And for the second tune of the last tune of their set, they started riffing on an old melody that he had written called FTB.
There's a great playfulness that happens at the Tiny Desk, and Glasper probably in the top five of musicians who just got the concept right off, and it was wonderful. So we're going to hear this FTB, is that what it is? But he called it something else, right? It was a song that he played with that had lyrics at some point.
Yeah, I think it's subtitled Gonna Be All Right. When he recorded it with the Robert Glasper Experiment, it had vocals on it too. Here's how he did it here.
Hey, yeah. Come on, I just thank you.
Robert Glasper Experiment here at the Tiny Desk back when. This was 2014, the winter. I'm here with Patrick Jaron-Wantanon, and we're talking about the great jazz Tiny Desks that we've done over the course of these many years. We started Tiny Desks in 2008, just shortly after NPR Music formed in 2007, which is when you came.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up doing a lot of them kind of in a hurry. You know, once the series started expanding, we brought in Lionel Lueke, we brought in Julian Lage.
Great guitar player.
Yeah, Allison Miller, the drummer, band Endangered Blood, Mary Halverson, the guitar player,
who's
kind of crazy and out. Yeah, all sorts of stuff came into the Tiny Desk in the quote-unquote old building, and once the Tiny Desk became a thing, we started having musicians like Robert Glasper want to show up.
And the one that you shine a light on so much through A Block Supreme and so much of what you did here was Vijay Iyer. I thought that, each of his records was an important record to cover in that world and bring him to the desk. I don't remember what year that was even.
I think it was 2015, pretty recently. He had just come out with his third trio record. Vijay Iyer's trio is, you know, one of the great working groups today. But Vijay is also just one of the sharpest thinkers I've been able to meet in the music. He's got a certain intellect in thinking about where the music is going. And he has his fingers in just so many different aspects of it, right? He makes the sort of trio jazz stuff and is a, you know, pianist, sideman, composer, all these different things. But he also writes for quote-unquote classical settings. He's collaborated with hip-hop artists. He's written in big bands. He's expanded his group to be a sextet. He's a professor. He teaches. He's somebody who's had his finger on the pulse of the many things that jazz is today. It's really a music that's sort of expanding in 100 different directions at once, and to even call it one coherent thing is almost a lie.
What should we hear from that 2015 Tiny Desk?
They actually played it as one continuous performance. So they sort of segued from a theme to another theme to another theme. And I'm not even sure that they had planned it out beforehand. Maybe they did. But it sort of became one idea into the other. And one thing that I think they do uniquely, even within their own repertoire, is a song called Hood. It's a tribute to an electronic music innovator named Robert Hood.
So, well, this is Vijay Iyer Trio, and we'll put all of the Tiny Desks are online already, but we'll in a blog post and point you to these specific concerts. And there's so many of them that Patrick Jaron Watanon, and as he was here with a blog supreme and curated so much and brought so much rich material to our world that we never would have heard of, and did that through the blog and all the writing as your sort of very first job. And
yeah,
blossomed. And
I was 23 when all that started, which is amazing to me that anybody trusted me to do that. But, you know, somehow...
What were we thinking?
Yeah. Somehow, you know, it all ended up. You know, I really liked the music. I'd like to think that I knew more than most people, at least my age, about it. And I was able to communicate it through this growing internet medium and our project that we had together called NPR Music. I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
Thanks for doing this today.
Thank you, Bob, for having me. I want to mention one thing. Back when I was a high school senior, that's when I first heard about All Songs Considered.
Huh.
And I was really into a band called The Bad Plus at the time.
Oh.
They had just put out their first major label record, It's called These Are the Vistas. And you guys actually, back before the internet was like actually functional for most humans, had them doing a live in-studio performance, which is in Studio 4A.
In video.
A video performance, which was,
so it's like 2005,
you know,
maybe?
I think it was 2003. I'm glad to report that you guys are still around and that you guys have turned me on to so much great music, and that the Bad Plus is still around and they're still
making
doing
great.
Their thing. I'm grateful for those things too.
That's awesome. Thanks. I never knew that story. Patrick, be well. We'll miss you. I'm Bob Boylan, along with Patrick Jaron Watanonen. It's All Songs Considered.